You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
So we're continuing to talk about the general theme of faith, family, and finances. And I told you we're going to get more practical as we go on here and get a little deeper as we're going on here. Regarding God's plan for our finances and how we can operate in God's plan for our finances. So we saw that God's concerned about our families. We saw that God wants to increase us. And then we gave you at least 9 reasons why God wants to financially increase us, you and your family. And the last two were, number 8 was to enjoy life. And number 9 was because it pleases him. So it pleases God for us to prosper. It pleases God for us to do well financially and have all of our financial needs met and have enough to live and enough to give. And then the last time I was with you talking about this, we started talking about how to cause financial increase to come upon your family. Number one, we said, is that you have to become a tithe and a giver, or as I summed it up by saying, you're going to have to put God first in your finances. You have to put God first in your finances. Now, all the natural principles to just get natural stuff operating would tell you put yourself first. Okay? I mean, y'all know that. Everybody tells you, pay yourself first, put yourself first. But if you're going to have God's blessings on your life, you're going to have to put him first and then put yourself second. I could really go even deeper on that because the Bible even talks about letting nothing be done for vainglory, but even preferring others over ourselves. Okay, so God really blesses us the less selfish that we are. The more selfless we are, the more that we get blessed in the kingdom of God. So we said the first thing is that you're going to have to put God first. And we gave you several scriptures around this whole concept of first. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside or put in store as God has prospered him. So we're going to, if you want God's blessing on your finances. Now, I mean, you can be real smart and come up and read every book and all this kind of stuff. But I'm talking about some supernatural stuff. Because I really believe for us to live the way God wants us to live, we need some supernatural stuff to happen. Amen. I can honestly say I'm blessed the way I'm blessed and been able to do things I've done in life because God caused some supernatural stuff to happen in my life. You know, we're getting ready to lease our Epic building to another church that's recently started. They're less than a year old. Well, it's a story behind it, but they're officially starting as a new church. And so I've been talking to the pastor. We've been working out the details of them renting that space from us. But he began to tell me that I said to him, I said, well, are you going to need our stuff? Are you going to need chairs? You're going to need sound system and all that stuff. He said, well, now watch it. All this came about because his youth pastor and Chandler knew each other. And Chandler called him just to go have lunch. When Chandler went to talk about have lunch, he asked the youth pastor asked him, you know, what y'all doing in that building there? And so then that's how that came about. That they're in the neighborhood here, they're looking for a building and all that. And that's how all that came about. So then a week later, I'm meeting with the pastor. We looked at the building, all this, and then when I'm asking him about if he needs our stuff. You know, sound and chairs. He said, well, Pastor Bailey, what is interesting, just yesterday, a pastor called me from Charlotte who's shutting his ministry down and said, you can have all our chairs, have our sound system. He said, I went up there and got 120, he said, about a 26, he said, I got a 26 foot truck and took it up there to get the stuff. Well, we realized we need to get 2 of them. He said, so we got, he said, we got more, he watched it, we got stuff, we just need the building. And I start talking to him, I said, that's how you know God's hand is on you. I start talking, teaching, telling about HIP. Help, increase, and provision. See, that's supernatural stuff that happens. See, when you're in the will of God, you need some supernatural stuff happening. Stuff that you couldn't pay for, wouldn't have thought to pay for. Things coming together. There's no way you could have strategized that or designed that. How many of y'all want some supernatural stuff happening in your life? Amen. If you want supernatural things happening, you're gonna have to put God first and keep God involved in your finances. Amen. And now with that, let's move on to the second point I want to make tonight. I'm going to talk about it from a spiritual standpoint. Then I'm going to give you some natural principles of things that I've been studying. I've been so excited about it to release to y'all and to teach y'all some things that the Lord's revealing to me and I'm learning. I was getting ready to go get an MBA in finance for y'all. I'm good. Okay, but I know part of my assignment is to raise up millionaires. And the thing, what happened, everything was set. The only reason why I didn't start this semester was that it was supposed to take them 2 weeks to get my undergraduate transcript. It took about 3 months. Well, you know, the school closed down and everything. When the school closed down, and now there's other schools supposed to have the transcripts, and they don't care nothing about our transcripts. Okay? So they got it to us But the things that, because I said, there's got to be more principles and different things that I can use and teach. And it just so happened that I stumbled across something that is changing my life, that is really coming together with my faith. I'm going to make up some words here. I'm a little skeptical to say it this way. My faith philosophy, okay, with how I believe regarding finances, because most of everything that you read regarding finances and all the gurus, what I keep telling y'all, is all based upon scarcity mentality. Okay, I mentioned a book and I started reading the book. I said, Lord, these people, you can't enjoy life if you do what they tell you to do. Just scrimp and don't ever have a nice car. Don't ever go on a trip. You can't enjoy it, have a nice dinner, because you need to save your money so when you're 70, you can become a millionaire and have enough money to live, okay? And I told you, it hit me a few, Pastor Marshall and I realized I had more money than I realized I had after we put 4 children through college, okay? And I had 3 or 4 children in private schools between college and high school, and so I realized all the money I was putting out. So after they all graduated, I said, man, we got more money than I thought. I said, we're going to use this money. We're going to start enjoying ourselves. So once a year, we look to take a trip outside the country. And we've been doing that for the last several years. Well, I'm at my cardiologist's office, and I said to him, that's the heart doctor, because you know what the cardiologist is. And I said to him, we were talking about traveling. And I said, well, where have you been? And he said, now this is the cardiologist now. He said, well, I've been here, but I don't travel no more because it's just too aggravating for me, and I just get tired. And I said, okay. So I can wait to get like him, have enough money to travel, but can't enjoy it because you're too tired. I said, that ain't living. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So, and then, because y'all know, I would tell y'all stuff. It's the will of God for you to have more, and yet I show you the scriptures where the rich fool stored up for many years, and that's a negative scripture. He said he stored up, and now he said I got enough to just last and to enjoy my retirement, and then he died that night. Okay. And the Bible said, then who shall those things be? Then the Bible says stuff like, a man's life consists not in the abundance of his possessions. Okay? There's those who withhold more than meat, and it leads to poverty. And there are those who scatter or give, and it causes increase. So the more I read and the more I've studied scripture, I'm saying, okay, it can't just be that we just supposed to be hoarding up. So now then I'm starting to teach y'all what I've always known, how my life works, is having faith for flow. That it'll be there when I get there, and I'll have it when I need it. Now there's some keys to doing this. There's some things you're gonna need to do, in terms of maximizing your potential, in terms of adding value to other people's lives, because that's what you really get paid for, y'all. Life is all about exchanging your knowledge and your ability to help somebody else. Boy, that was worth coming to Bible study for right there. That's how you make money. You make money by adding value to somebody else's life and doing something that somebody willing to pay for. Look at your neighbor and say, legally. That's how you make money legally. Okay, now there's some illegal ways to make money. You can hit somebody over the head and get it. Okay, but that's still not adding value to their life. And they're not going to pay you to hit them over the head. Okay? So the more I look at these things and put this with scripture, I think I got some real good things to tell y'all. And it's going to start with number one, this second one here, which is you're going to have to be a good steward over what you have. Now, stewardship is based upon this understanding that we don't own anything, okay, but that God owns everything. So Luke 16 and 2, it says, and he called him and said unto him, this is the guy who realized he was shrewd, and I got to make some money quick and come up. He said, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy what? Stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Give an account of your stewardship. Give an account of your stewardship, it means you need to be able to say where your money's gone. So I'm going to tell you the first law for God not to increase you is to keep living your life saying, I don't know where my money went. Uh-oh, I just messed with y'all. I just don't know where my money went. And the more you keep saying that, the less you're going to have, the broker you're going to be. Because as sooner or later, you're going to have to start taking responsibility and start saying, I got to see where my money went. And I got to know where my money is going, and I got to give my money an assignment rather than being a victim of my money. If you live your life constantly saying, I don't know where my money went, you are a victim of your money. Money's not using you. I mean, you're not using money. Money's using you. You are a victim of your money. So God wants us to be a good steward. A good steward starts with this understanding that God owns everything and we manage what he gives us. As I dedicated Chloe Basket to the Lord Sunday, I reminded the parents. I said, yeah, we call it parents, but truth of the matter, we're really stewards. God gives us these children and says, now I need you to raise them and take care of them and teach them and take these lumps of clay and make something good out of them. Okay, now we clearly understand that regarding Joseph and Mary, right? God chose them to be the parents of his child. And so he was specific about who he went to because they were to be stewards. So we're stewards over our children. Watch this. You're stewards over that car. You're stewards over that house. And the way that you demonstrate to God that he can trust you with more is how you handle and steward over what you have. God is not going to give you more to waste. And God is not going to give you more to keep saying, I don't know where my money went. Every time you say that, what you're really saying is, you know what? I am not a good steward. Okay? So look at Luke 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, the one who watches over and manages, whom his Lord will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? So when we demonstrate, wait, back up. So when we demonstrate that we are wise and good stewards, God said, now I'm going to make you ruler over the house. I'll give you promotion. And I'll make sure you have what you need when you need it. You see that? I'll give him their portion of meat in their due season. They won't lack. When God sees you a good steward, he said, I'll give you promotion. That means I'll make you ruler. I'll give you promotion. And I'll give you your portion. I'll give you what you should have when you need it. Say it again. Say, I'll have it when I need it. It'll be there when I get there. Watch this, if I'm a good steward. So whether it's your car, whether it's your money, whether it's your children, whatever God has given us, and we have to recognize everything God has given us. Okay? Whether you realize it directly or you realize it indirectly, everything we have comes from God. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. All my help comes from the Lord. Well, God didn't give me that. Somebody else can. No, well, God helps you through people. Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor with God and man. So it's still at the root of it. And that's part of being of stewardship, is recognizing everything I got comes from God. Amen. Now, when we looked at the prodigal son, not the prodigal son, when we looked at the five and the two and the one, the parable of the talents, there's a scripture there that I point out to you that is a principle of stewardship. Matthew 25:29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given. Now watch this. And you got to look at the context. After all your spending and budgeting and managing and doing business, God said, I'm looking for what you still have. At the end of the month, what do you still have? For unto everyone that hath, for unto everyone that hath shall be given. And he shall have what? How many of us want abundance? God said, I'll give you abundance based upon you having. Are y'all getting this? Some of y'all say, no, I'll have when I get abundance. No, God said, no, if you have, you'll get abundance. So you got to manage your finances in a way that you always have. Say, I always have. That's a scripture. God tells us that in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 8. He said, God will bless you that you always have, if you're a good steward. He shall have abundance. And from him that hath not, you're always broke. Okay, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. So we hear this all the time without understanding. This is the principle of abundance, that the rich get richer and the poor keep getting poorer. Well, stop it. The rich get richer because God sees you have, and I'll give you more. I know this is a whole different philosophy than how y'all always, because all you're seeing yourselves as victims. And I'm telling you, until you start taking control of your finances and start saying, God is a good God, he's a steward, and he gives me, and I got to be a good steward, and I got to manage my finances in a way that I have, now God says, I'll give you more. Well, I want a nicer car. Take care of that nice car. Take care of the little hoopty you got right now. Wash it. Amen. Wash it. Don't look like you going around recycling for McDonald's and Wendy's in your car. That's how you demonstrate that you have another car. I helped a relative out recently with a car, and I surprised him and stopped by. And you would think that car was 10 years old. They had it for about 3 or 4 months. But that was my biggest concern. My biggest concern was I was giving them a car that the mentality had not caught up to. Anytime anyone has, you get something your mentality has not caught up to, you'll abuse it. You'll misuse it. You won't take care of it. How many of y'all know your kids don't understand what it took for you to get a mortgage? They will tear your house up. They don't understand. You know, I had a 500 credit score. Then I had to pay these bills on time. It took me years to get this credit score up so we can get finance. They don't care nothing about that. They will write all over your walls. They'll kick your doors in. They'll swing on the hinges. They don't care. You have to teach them that. But you can't teach if you don't even understand it yourself. So in my case, the Lord showed me that from the time I've been grown, okay, and from the time I've been on my own, and for the most part, when I went to college, I was on my own from the time I went to college, okay? I lived on campus, and then, you know, the Lord showed me at one time when I was younger, in my early 20s, I always thought I needed more money. I was asking the Lord for more money, and the Lord spoke to me and showed me. He said, you've never had a lack of money. You had a lack of wisdom. The Lord showed me for where I was at that point in my life, I always had enough money. I didn't have enough wisdom. So the money that I had at 25, the money I had coming in, was enough for where I was with my wife and one child, if I would have managed it right. The money I had at 30, now the money that I had at 25 would not be enough for me where I am now, or when I had four children at home in teenagers, but it was all right for where I was. See, but as long as you're always thinking, I never have enough, and say, no, I'm going to learn to manage what I have. I'm going to manage what I have, and I'm going to demonstrate to God that you give me more, I'm going to be able to manage more. Because if you get overwhelmed and don't know what to do, if you got $500 more a month, what you going to do if God gave you $5,000 more a month? I stumbled across something on YouTube. I stumbled, you know. Now you're going to look at one thing before you know what you're looking at. If you got to be careful with that. You said been there 3 hours. Lord, I've been watching this YouTube for 3 hours. But I stumbled across something about the 10 multi-millionaire lottery winners who all went broke and told their stories. Had hundreds. Some of them had hundreds of millions, and they had, and some of them had, when they had, they didn't take a lump sum, but they had a yearly payment of $200,000 and $300,000 a year, and broke, and they showed them living in mobile homes now, and on food stamps now, and all that. Was the problem money? It was lack of wisdom. Somebody said, when the good part coming? It ain't. Just suck it up. Just take this root canal. All right? Luke 15. I've got to show you this because we often talk about it. Luke 15, the prodigal son, his father gave him the money. It wasn't any lack of money. And the Bible says in verse 13, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. He took his money, and when it says far country, meaning he went far away from the principles of what he knew and from his surroundings at home. He went into a far country, and there he did what? Wasted his substance. He didn't honor the Lord with his substance. He did what? Wasted his substance. Wasted with riotous living. Riotous living, see, Montgomery. It says wasteful or prodigal living. Now, that could just be real general. Riotous living. Right, that means he was living wild, living foul, living crazy, doing some stuff. Use your imagination. We don't even know the details. We would not have known the details if the younger brother didn't tell us. Because later on, when he came home, the father threw a party. He said, how you going to throw him a party? This son, when he's been out there spending his money on whores, that's what riotous living means. We would not have known that. Seriously. It was his younger brother who snitched. And y'all know snitches get stitches. Okay? And he told him what he was doing. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Another word for want is lack. Now, what caused his lack? Wasting his money. Lack of wisdom, not managing, not being a good steward over what his father had given him. My son, Pastor Chandler, y'all know he has a different way of looking at the scriptures. He always pulls out stuff we did. He asked me a question. We were talking about this after. He said, why the father give it to him? Now we're going to blame the father. The father knew what was in him. The father knew what was in him. Why give it to him? Father should have said, no, boy, this money going to ruin you. I just say the father gave it to him because he asked him. Okay? But obviously he didn't have the wisdom to handle it. And watch this. So it wasn't a famine. It wasn't the circumstances. It wasn't the economic downturn that caused him to be in lack. It wasn't a famine. It's because he spent all. If he hadn't spent all, he would have been able to make it through the famine. See, a lot of stuff we want to blame on the economy. You want to blame it just because you lost a job. Okay? Like, you know, like I told you, when the government was shut down, you know, people taking advantage of this girl in the news talking about the government shut down for a week. And she said, they repossessed my car. I mean, they stopped it.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Lack does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Being a Good Steward.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.